Bieber's always in the news now. He was linked to potentially playing Willy Wonka, which is getting redone again. And I'm, I know the internet gets bent out of shape when we change the color or ethnicity of a beloved character. But I think the key to casting that role, and we're going to have Floyd, a.k.a. Deja, on the second half of the podcast tonight. A lot to get to. It's about 5 o'clock or so on Wednesday night, maybe the most beautiful day of the year, especially if you complained about all the heat last week. So we're going to have Floyd on tonight. Got to talk about a couple of cool events to get you in the know on, a couple of complaints. Thank you for your help with the project. I could use some advice for something else. Kate Spade, Old West End. And some more to get to. But that Willy Wonka thing, it was Donald Glover and a couple other actors, the typical names, which escape me right now, have been linked to potentially being cast as Willy Wonka as it's rebooted again. I didn't see in its entirety the Johnny Depp version. But for me, like I said, I don't think ethnicity is... Maybe for some roles, it's vital, and that's a conversation for another time. But I think what is the key trait, key color, anything for recasting Willy Wonka is eccentricity. You must be able to be different and unique, and Johnny Depp certainly was that, and I know the background of that was, his origin was... reimagined with a dentist, and that's why he was with. So I didn't watch it in its entirety, and nothing on this planet besides the B word, you know, that I dislike, will ever frighten me like Oompa Loompa Doompa. Forget about the boat scene. The boat scene didn't do half the things to me as a child when I was like 7 and saw that movie at summer camp and needed to be walked out of the auditorium because I was terrified from the rhythmic singing of these little orange dudes. So whoever gets cast should be eccentric. Some of the names that pop, I'm totally down with Donald Glover because he might be the most currently active, talented person that we have for music. I mean, he's taken what Jamie Foxx, and I've said this before, he's taken what Jamie Foxx has done, the triple threat, movies, TV, singing, and Donald, that's Donald Glover times 10. I'd be totally cool. I think he'd play a great Willy Wonka. Another name that jumped out at me because he's played some weird characters in there, and you got to be able to be weird to be Willy Wonka. And we're not going to do this for the whole podcast because, like I said, there's a lot to get to. Brad Pitt, like his character in Fight Club, and wasn't he a little wacky, a little zany in Burn After Reading? So Brad Pitt, that would probably cost a ton of money. But there was a couple other names that. Jumped into my head. I'll give you this one though. If we know he's been weird, he's had some weird, outlandish stunts. I think he has stayed out of his small stints in jail the last couple of years. But if there is ever a time for someone to come back, and I know people do like him, and maybe it's just because of Even Steven and then Transformers. But if there was ever a time for him to come back, and we know he can be a little weird, and maybe that hits a little too close to home for him, Shia LaBeouf, Willy Wonka. Think about it. There is an event. Remember, in one of the recent podcasts, we had a Three Wife Life on Tori. Tori, who is the third wife. Tori, Lexi, and Nicole. Nicole and Lexi are married. Lexi is having a baby, I think, in the coming weeks. And Tori's a part of that crew. But I always said that Tori and Lexi were the married couple, so it was very confusing, and it was hard for me to embrace that Nicole is actually the wife. So Lexi is part of something called Northwest Ohio Shares, Community Shares, and I'll just try to throw this out there to you, and I'll tell you about the event. They help lots of local nonprofits, and they disseminate, they raise goods and things that and resources that those nonprofits need and then disseminate them to the best of their ability. So Northwest Ohio Shares, and they've got something coming up on Friday called Romp in the Swamp. And I believe there's an auction that I'll be a part of. It's happening at the Niederhauser Hall, Olander Park, 7 o'clock on this coming Friday night. So today's tomorrow's 7th. So the 8th. Tickets are $25, 2 for $40, and they want it to be a community event. Romp in the Swamp is designed to be fun, a fun casual event tied to the fact that we are located in the area formerly known as the Great Black Swamp. Through the Romp, you help community share, support the work of member agencies in our community. So, like I said, there's a lot of local nonprofits under the umbrella of Northwest Ohio Community Shares, and they do their best because there's a lot of nonprofits that we know about and ones that we don't know about. And I believe Community Shares, Northwest Ohio Community Shares, does its best to get where things are needed most and most frequently. Please, I encourage you to look them up, but if you're looking for something to do on Friday night, Romp in the Swamp, Niederhauser Hall, Olander Park, Friday night. Tickets are $25. There's an auction. There's two tickets for $40, and go bother Lexi if you'd like to come out for that, and you can also wish her good luck in giving birth and being a mom. Some other things to get to, including a TSA event that we'll talk about briefly, but that's later on in the podcast. Like I said, Floyd, a.k.a. Deja, will be here. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I think I want to ask Floyd about the Baker and the Supreme Court issue, and we'll talk a little Transformers because the Bumblebee trailer was released, and my G1 erection went zany. So Floyd and I will have a good time. That's the second half of the podcast, and I'll never begrudge you if you just want to jump to certain parts of this. I do my best to explain in detail what's going on with the podcast in the subtext to give you a little bit of an idea. So again, feel free to skip around, and I'm glad you're here. But if you are going to skip around, do me a favor. You're subscribed. Share this if you would. There are still, now that by the time you hear this, it's June 6th now, right? Yeah. Tomorrow's June 7th. By the time you hear this, the old show will have been no more for 1 year. Considered having a big anniversary party or a, hey, we're doing just fine party. But that's a little self-serving. I'm not really one much for parties anyway, and we're all good. But it's been a year, and things have been great for all of us. Maybe we'll talk about this on Saturday if Dee and I and Philip and maybe Ashley can get together for a second podcast for the week. But like I said, a lot of people don't know that this is still happening. So please share with them. It's like the old show, but with more vulgar language at times and no commercials. That might have to change at some point. Barry can only help me out with so much. Can you help me out with this? You did an incredible job. I told you that on Facebook, I had a small, nearly effortless, definitely painless project. What I was looking for was you saying something and then mailing it over to me. And everybody, the several dozen people who did what they did, I haven't listened to them yet. I'm sure they're perfect because it's like literally one sentence. Thank you for helping me out. If you would like to give me your voice, I appreciate it. Go to my Facebook page or shoot me a message on Facebook and I will explain exactly what I'm looking for. It won't take more than 60 seconds. Thank you for those that helped me. How about this? I have had a lingering stomach issue for 4 months and I can't figure out what the hell it is. Thought it might have been drinking certain things and then waking up the next morning. And in addition to like, or maybe in lieu of a hangover, just a real queasy, rotten feeling in my stomach. And it never seemed to go away. So I went to my doctor last month, and actually, Nicole, Lexi's wife, said it's probably an ulcer. My doctor said it wasn't an ulcer because of the symptoms that I described to him, but basically I've had this rotten stomach. It's like a little bit of acid reflux, some bloating, and just a general irritation, general discomfort. Nothing much more than that. And I got really worried, not worried, but concerned. But last Thursday, I had a banana protein shake and it went through me in like a half an hour, like through me. And that till this point had not happened. And then Monday, I drank some, I was feeling okay. No, it was Tuesday. Monday, ate totally well. Tuesday morning, wake up, had some coffee. And I wasn't feeling as good as I should have considering how I ate the day before. And I had to do a public pooping. I had to go into the Fresh Time bathroom. And I don't do that. So if you have any idea, I guess the question I want to ask is, have probiotics ever helped you? And by the way, I asked my doctor, I was like, is this getting old? Do I have to eat like carrots all the time now? Like you're probably thinking I eat lame anyway, but he didn't think it was that. So maybe I'll go back to him. But probiotics, do those help? Because maybe my stomach lining is just all jacked up and I really have to rest it. Like, I can ditch the alcohol and some of the junk food at times, but the coffee's going to be tough. I can do it, but I don't want to. But probiotics, do those work? Because those are what? Those are good bacteria for your stomach. Have you ever tried those? My dad's been using them. He's like, if you get it, make sure you get the most cultures you possibly can, like 10 billion. It costs more, but that should help. So, and I've had acid reflux in the past, but it was more something else and not connected to this. So, stomach issues? Any ideas? I'd be happy to take any more insight on this. The good thing about this is, as long as it's been lingering, and it's not stress. I'm not stressed. I'm not losing my mind over it, in the sense that I need to get some kind of stomach scan immediately. Like, whenever my doctor gets back to me, I sent him an email the other day, the digital doctor stuff. I'm not like thinking if he doesn't send me for a scan immediately, it's all over. I'm not losing my mind over this stuff. My anxiety is not getting the better of me and magnifying the problem. And again, in past years, pre-Cymbalta, and we're going to talk some mental health stuff here connected to all the Kate Spade thing with this. Being as I've had this ailment now for like 4 or 5 months, and it's a nuisance. It's a pain in the butt. It's a pain in the stomach. Literally a pain in the butt. But in the past, when I would have these little ailments, I would magnify them. And my mind would just let loose. And my imagination would run wild. And I would think 7,000 kinds of cancer would be invading my body. And I'm not thinking that this time. And if I have to go eventually get some kind of like the endoscopy, fine, so be it. But I don't think I'm anywhere close to that. So I'm staying reasonable and rational. In fact, there is a mental health person that I connect with on Twitter. And she said something about, like, there's not a day goes by when anxiety and depression don't get me. And she said something else. She said, it's worse in the morning and at night. And I tweeted back to her. I said, I've made a rule for myself. I've made a standing rule for myself. I do not make doctor's appointments if I need to give myself a hard line before noon. I do not make doctor's appointments in the morning, but before noon. This way, my mind is... my imagination is most active, and my coping skills, my mental coping skills, are worst in the morning. That's when I'm like, oh no, I wake up and it's like, oh shit, the tumor grew a little bit overnight. I mean, forget about the doctor. I should just, you know, go right to urgent care. Forget urgent care. Go to the ER. No, forget to the ER. Just go buy your own endoscope and shove it down your own throat. My ability to cope mentally is worst in the morning. So, I like to make that rule for myself. And if things are still a little weird later on in the day, then make the phone call. And she liked that tweet. So maybe you could use that. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe your ability to manage stress and anxiety in the morning is at its worst as well. So at least knowing that, you can combat it. In my case, don't call the doctor till it's warm out and sunny in the afternoon. All right, the Kate Spade situation here. I don't like when these things happen, but it does give me the opportunity to share personal thoughts and feelings about mental health stuff. In fact, I got a tweet from my friend Sarah Hegarty this morning, and she said she's unfriending. She needed something from Nami, but she said she's unfriending anybody that says it's a selfish act by Kate Spade on Facebook. Sarah, don't unfriend me, please. How long have we been doing this together now? It's a selfish act, but without the selfish intent. Let me come back to that. And I have never wavered on this. I am always, I know I sound arrogant and filled with hubris and closed-minded, but I do want to learn and stretch my mind and get better and smarter and hear different viewpoints. I mean, it's the only way we learn, and I do want to learn, but my mind has never changed, and there are too many of these suicide discussions that we keep having where my mind could be changed. And maybe it's just a little wordplay between you and I. It's sad regardless of what it is. But I'll explain why I feel that way again shortly. So Kate Spade's kind of estranged sister, Rita Sappho, said she wasn't surprised. I'll say Kate's suicide was not unexpected. Sometimes you simply cannot save people from themselves. According to Rita Sappho, her late sibling was concerned how hospitalization might harm the image of the happy-go-lucky Kate Spade brand, and had eventually become full-on manic depressive due to the stress and pressure of her empire. Sappho also suggested her sister had a plan to take her own life already set in motion, as Spade was fixated when the news broke of Robin Williams' death in August 2014. So again, the upshot is Kate Spade's estranged sister, Rita Sappho, not surprised that Kate Spade killed herself. Her family, Kate Spade's family, came out and said, and this is to People, the family is disgusted and saddened that at this time of great sorrow, Kate's sister, who's been estranged from the entire family for more than 10 years, would choose to surface with unsubstantiated comments. Her statements paint a picture of someone who didn't know her at all. Well, the comments might be unsubstantiated by the dictionary definition of unsubstantiated, but if you've read up on any of this, it does sound like Kate was in a very, very dark place, and it sounded like Rita Sappho did know her quite well. I can't imagine that she would make these things up about Robin Williams. There was something else in here that Sappho had said. Kate had planned to take her life many times, and she used the word, the quote, chickened out by morning. Trust me, I've been there. I've gotten close, not to the point of chickening out, but it's been closer than my family would have ever wanted. Manic depression, also known as bipolar, what I have, bipolar 2. A housekeeper found Spade hanging from a red scarf tied to a doorknob in her bedroom. Her husband, Andy, was home at the time. The designer left a suicide note addressed to her 13-year-old daughter, telling her it was not her fault, according to CBS News. Kate Spade had fallen into a deep depression days before hanging herself because her husband, who had moved out of their Park Avenue home, sought a divorce, according to the report. So whatever emotional problems were there, whenever those seeds were sown long ago, I can only imagine that they were magnified and amplified by the stress of her empire. We look in the outside and see people who are rich and famous, and we think they have a great life on the inside. I think there was something also about Kate Spade having isolated herself a great deal recently. We only see the public stuff, and oftentimes I'm probably misusing this again, but never mind. I was going to use a phrase, but it doesn't fit here. We don't know. We don't know what our neighbors are doing. We don't know what's behind that smile. We often don't know. But while Kate's close family is disgusted and saddened, her statements paint a picture of someone who didn't know her at all. It actually sounds, from what I have read here from Rita Sappho, that she might not have been close with her sister, but she probably had the best idea of how wrong things really were for Kate Spade. Again, the 55-year-old fashion designer didn't want her 24-year marriage to her husband, Andrew, to end, and he was home at the time. A couple of things here. While I have thought greatly about suicide, let me start with this. It's a selfish act in a vacuum. There is not selfish intent, though, because when you're selfish, you're doing something that only benefits you. Right? You're thinking only of yourself. The best comparison or analogy I can make is, let's think of kids. Kids, you teach kids to share. And a lot of times, we as adults don't want to share. We're selfish. We're thinking only of ourselves. And that is the selfishness of suicide. That's what makes it a selfish act. Again, the intent is not selfish. Now let's tie this all together. It's a selfish act because if you were not thinking of only yourself. Now remember, you have a cloud of depression, darkness, and hopeless tyranny in your mind. The only help you believe, the only hope you think, the only hope and help that you think are there are by taking your own life. It's you believe, your mind tells you, this altered reality tells you, the only escape from this dark tyranny is to kill yourself. That's the only thing going through your mind. And again, the only way you know how to stop it is, I've been there. I've never been that close to suicide, but I have thought about it, so much so I will explain momentarily here. What makes this all selfish is, if you were able to stop and go, wait a second, I have a 13-year-old daughter, I need to be there for her. Wait a second, I have, well, my husband might want to divorce me. I have parents, friends, coworkers who care and love me. if that thought, if those thoughts, if those unselfish thoughts about the well-being of those people, if those thoughts were able to penetrate that cloud of that altered reality, there's a very good chance you wouldn't go through with suicide. So hopefully, I think I've explained that and why I believe it is a selfish act with more clarity than I ever have before. And again, it's a selfish act in a vacuum unto itself. It is not selfish intent, because any intent is clouded by that darkness and that depression. And if you want to play with my words here a little bit and go, well, Eric, you said it's selfish and this person only wants to escape their darkness. So yes, they're doing something solely for them. But yes, their intent is not to hurt others. It's to only help themselves in what they believe is the only way possible. They know they can get away from the cloud that has ruined their life, that has extracted every piece of happiness, joy, and contentment in their life. Imagine loving what you do. This is one of the easiest signs of depression. It's a huge signal for me. I've been playing a lot of Sega Genesis lately. I bought a Sega Genesis, and it in some games have cost me like $50. If all of a sudden I stopped doing that, or all of a sudden I stopped enjoying my time with my girlfriend and her son for no obvious reason, something's wrong. When you stop enjoying what you normally enjoy, that's when the depression has invaded your life. For what, it's that cloud. And it said, stop liking what you normally enjoy doing. And again, it twists your reality and creates a different reality where many people think that the only way out is suicide. I like to end a lot of my talks with within that hope, within that hopelessness and helplessness. Please remember those two key root words, hope and help. They are there for you. In fact, we know the damn logic song, right? 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-TALK. There is also the number that you can text, 741-741. We talk about it all the time when I go to the meetings for the Lucas County Suicide Prevention Coalition. In fact, if I could like outline like normal employment and have a regular schedule, I would commit to the month long of classes so that I could be one of the people on the other ends of those text line to talk people out of their situations in crisis. But anybody can text that. It is not just a suicide line. It is for any kind of domestic dispute or any kind of sad, sullen feelings. If there is any kind of crisis, physical, emotional, mental, whatever is going on, obviously if it's something deep, call the police. But if it's another kind of crisis, you can text 741-741 and someone on the other end of the text message will walk you through that and hopefully get you out of that crisis situation emotionally and psychologically and point you in the direction of where you can go for help beyond that if it's needed on a more regular basis. And again, it's not just for suicide. It's for any kind of emotional, psychological, physical crisis. 741-741. So when the Kate Spade thing hit yesterday, and it was that she had hanged herself. I always thought it was hung, but it's hanged herself. It made me want to... I did share a tweet. I didn't want to put it on Facebook because the discussion can get out of hand, and I wanted to be as clear as possible, so I figured I'd save it for the podcast. If I ever got to the point of going through with killing myself, and I have mentioned too frequently that whenever my dad is gone, my life will be that much more emotionally challenging because he is my rock. At least for my own benefit, I'm trending in the right way. Having somebody like Lindsay and her son and many more friends in my life. It was just over my friend Justin's house and his fiance, Lucas, and my friend Alex. And the list goes on and on and on. Those people are life preservers. Friends, family members, loved ones, any kind of important relationship, they are... You are life preservers. It's like you're all standing around a pool. Think of an Olympic-sized pool, and you float towards the middle of it. But then you look up and see all these people who care about you deeply. Like I said, I it will be tougher when my dad is gone, and hopefully that's not for another couple decades. And hopefully by then I will be emotionally and psychologically strong enough to move on. I was able to move on with my mom's passing. I was not as close to her as I am with my dad. But when you lose a rock in your life, it's kind of like with old people. Like when there's a 90-year-old couple, when that only person that you've got left in your life goes, it's amazing how the life force fades out of you and that second person dies within days. It's funny that that didn't happen with my grandfather. My grandmother, his wife, Grammy W., died in 2008. My grandfather, Grandpa, just died in 2016. He lasted 8 years without the person that he loved and cared for most. And I think he vocalized the fact that he wanted to die. Anyway, I have gotten to the point. I know that people care about me, and I would devastate people's lives. My dad, first and foremost, and I don't know who else after that, but I know if I were not here anymore, I would hurt people. So, and that's how, even if I have to keep saying suicide is a selfish act, to keep myself around, I'm going to keep doing it. And if me saying it's a selfish act irritates you, but it keeps me around, you're just going to have to deal with that. But in those times when I thought that deeply about it, and again, I never got close to it. I do remember holding knives in my hand. This was like in 2007, 8, 9. I do remember holding knives in my hand because it was the only thing that I had in the house where I could do such devastation to myself. And I did think, if I stab myself, would the femoral artery, I bleed out in 10 minutes. Or I would think, how long would it take me to bleed out if I slit my throat or stab myself in the stomach? That's probably the closest I've ever gotten. Kate Spade hanged herself. And this also goes back to the reason why guns and mental health are hot topics for me, because, you know, not to talk about guns and Second Amendment stuff because it's always a testy area, but I would never sell a gun to me because it then becomes too easy. Holding that knife, I can come back from that potentially if I were to do something. If I were to put that gun to my brain, if I had access to that weapon, if I put that gun to my head or underneath my chin or wherever, there's a 99.7% chance that's it. There's no second chances in that case. So that's why no one should ever be allowed to sell me a gun. And as you can tell, I have given lots of rumination to my own death and how I would kill myself. And I can say this in regards to the Kate Spade thing. This is the, by the way, the 10th anniversary in a month, in July, of The Dark Knight, when that movie came out. Obviously, Heath Ledger, that was his, I think, last movie. He killed himself with pills, and one of the Olsen twins found him also in New York City in an apartment. I think he had overdosed, and one of the Olsen twins had found him in January of 2008, before the movie came out. If I were to do it, I would probably do it that way, because It physically appears to be the most gruesome. What is it? The housekeeper walked in on Kate Spade. Like, we've all seen theatrical killings or theatrical suicides. People hanging in their cells or guns. And those are, if by some chance my dad were still alive and I went through something like this, where people that loved me were around, while I can't guarantee I would think this way, because if I was in such harrowing emotional straits, I might not even be able to glom onto this, to this life preserver of hope. But I wouldn't do it in some way where I would allow people to find me in a gruesome way. It's one thing to know and have to deal with and live with the fact that you have lost a loved one. But I don't know if I could ever let my loved ones read that my skull was bashed open, or there was a bullet hole coming out the back of my head, or I was found dangling from something lifelessly. I would do it in a quiet, somber way. So there would be the loss of me, but not that gruesome, visceral visual. And I know that none of this might make sense, and I don't think I'm oversharing. I just want to walk you through the mindset of what someone has thought, I've thought of, and you know, maybe you can use back to me one day. Because like I said, if I ever get to the point where I'm deeply considering this, I might find whatever I can do it with, and it might not be so calculated as, hold on, let me make sure it's not a mess when they walk in here to take pictures. As for those life preservers, those people standing around that pool, that's why I encourage anybody who is in difficult emotional times, you are not a burden. And if you are a burden, if you believe that your behavior is erratic and your isolating has taken you out of people's lives and they miss you, and you believe that you do cause trouble for other people, trust me, listen so closely. It is nowhere near the burden of having to bury you, okay? Even if they have to take you to appointments every single day for 6 months, and you've got to be, and they've got to help you pay for things and medication, it is not the burden of putting you in the ground or having to come identify a body because you blew your head off. Trust me, I know those are the two things. Remember, suicide is not 90% of suicides are connected to mental health. And trust me, it's not good mental health. Like I say, the other 10% is about you owing Big Tony a lot of money. And that should even change because legal gambling is going to happen soon. That means you'll actually owe someone at like a casino rather than a little Tony who's broken a lot of knees. But suicides are 90% connected to mental health. And it's not good mental health. Nobody ever wakes up and says, shit, it was an awesome day today. Had a great workout. Kissed the girlfriend. Going to put a bullet in my head right now. It doesn't work like that. People are in scary, terrifying places. They either think they're a burden. This is, and from all the things I've read and all the things I've experienced, these are the two mindsets that fit within that 90% of suicides connecting to mental health. Two mindsets. I am a burden. I am too much for my family and loved ones to handle, or I just want this emotional agony to end. I've never felt like a burden. It's always been the other one. But you often hear, I think you can maybe tie back to the Chester. What was Chester's last name? Bennington from Linkin Park last year. There might have been something connecting him to saying that he felt like he was a burden to his wife and loved ones. Never. Never. You might be a pain in the butt in some ways. And it might be emotionally agonizing for those loved ones. That's why there are meetings at NAMI for family support groups to help loved ones of those going through mental health issues. You are never the burden of what it would be like to identify a body that's been eviscerated by a bullet or has ligature marks around the neck from hanging yourself. So, no more suicide stuff. I'll give you that number one more time, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. Also, you can text 741-741. That's the crisis hotline. There is an event coming up at TSA. We're obviously big fans of that school. They are kind of downtown neighbors of mine. They have an event coming up on June 21st called The Undisclosed from 7 to 9. It is at TSA. It's in the Porter Gallery. And this is thanks to Bethany Urbanski, who's been a longtime listener to the show. Wanted to have her on the podcast, but some things were all jumbled, and I told her, let me talk about the event, okay? Undisclosed, June 21st, 7 to 9 at TSA, the Porter Gallery, $100 per couple, and you can get tickets at ts4art.org. ts4art.org, or 419-246-8732. 419-246-8732, extension 256, or you can Google this. It's called Undisclosed, TSA. You can do that. 100 artists, TSA students, staff, and local celebrities will create over 100 12x12 inch original pieces of artwork. Guests will select the work of their choice when their raffle ticket is drawn. The name of the artist is known only after the work is chosen, hence Undisclosed. So you pick out when you like, what you like, and then you find out who made it. Some of the participants include Tom Marino, Danny Herrera, Larry Golba, Phil Hazard, Genevieve Stanfield, and more. They've got drinks, hors d'oeuvres, live music by Caden Chase. A very cool event that's happening June 21st, undisclosed, at TSA. 419-246-8732, extension 256, or go bother Bethany Urbanski on Facebook. Also, in that neck of the woods, there's something going on in the Old West End. The lead rules. I mentioned some friends of mine earlier in the podcast, Justin and Lucas. They get to keep their apartment. You might have read the story in the paper on Sunday by my friend Lauren Lindstrom, and seen another friend of mine, Brittany Adams. Brittany, that's your last name, right? Hold on. Let me make sure. I have this pulled up right here. Are you on the front page? Brittany, but more so, maybe the dog. Maybe is such a sweetheart dog. They are one of the tenants that aren't so lucky. Their Brittany's landlord is asking her to get out. That landlord will not be paying for the lead test because they're very expensive. And I don't know the minutia of the law. What is it? If a tenant, or if a landlord has 1 to 4 tenants, they've got them, and it's built before 1978, you've got to make sure that it's lead safe. Now, I thought this was only a problem when it comes to kids, but apparently it's, let's just get rid of all these old houses. And this was a city council law put into effect, but the unintended consequences, as you might have read about in that Blade story that features Brittany and other people from the Old West End, is, hey, these landlords can just, these landlords who have people going month to month and in looser lease terms, as opposed to more traditional apartment complexes where you're in a 3-6 a year long lease, and these people are actually just, you know, maybe writing a check month by month. These landlords do have the right in many cases to go, I'm not getting this house tested for lead. Here you go. You have 30 days to find a place to live. So if you do have friends in the Old West End or know people, they might need a place to live or stay. So put the word out if you can. Like my friend Brittany's looking for a place in South Toledo, whether a house to rent or an apartment to rent. So if you have friends in the Old West End, some of them could be losing their homes. Back to Justin and Lucas, they're concerned from the other side of it that the Old West End will skid back into sketchy neighborhood territory because these landlords will move these people out. Just quality tenants. Like I said, my friend Brittany, her dog, her cat, great tenants. These are good people who have been a part of the Renaissance or reimagining, rebirth of the Old West End, but yet kept the Victorian pristine beauty of it all. I was at the Old West End the other day, and my favorite thing about the Old West End is that it is a melting pot, I believe, like no other neighborhood or area in our Northwest Ohio area. There's hipsters, there's upper class white people, there's middle class white people, there's same for black people. It's a gay community. It's everything. It is so inclusive. You look up in the sky and you see the rainbow. You look at the Old West End and you see all the colors of people as well. And my stake in all this is, sure, I want people like Brittany to have a roof over their heads, but I also want that neighborhood to stay what it is and to continue to grow, because if my employment situation is ever settled, it's absolutely one of the places I would look to live. Of all the places I've lived in my life, I think I've checked most of the boxes. I've always wanted to live in a cool downtown spot. I've had that for the last 6 years now. I've never lived in a place like an old Victorian place where the rent is low or the mortgage is low and I can do some things to the house, even though I really can't. But I'd like to live in that environment. So if I ever settle my employment situation permanently, that's one of the places I would look to first to find a place. And if I found a house, you know, if I found a diamond in the rough for a reasonable price, it's like, hey, I will write that check. I will take this thing off your hands. But we got to keep that neighborhood with its arrow trending up. And this lead thing is a challenge for that. The traffic situation. There is now only one lane inbound on the trail going into downtown. That's in addition to the slow go from 75 onto Washington, getting into downtown, and Monroe Street there, and Summit Street coming up from Broadway. It is another reason why I do love living here so much is it's easy to get everywhere. Like, the toughest place for me to get is, to parts of Maumee. Because I either have to go, Spring, I can think of the name, like the Sky Zone area in Swanton. Why can't I think of the shopping center over there? Jesus, where Target is and everything. Like I can either drive through the city, which isn't my most favorite thing, just because I like staying on the road and not stopping instead of lights and narrow streets, and it's a pain in the ass in the wintertime. So my only way to get over that side is that way, or go north on 475 and come around, or go south on 75 and 475 and go back up. It's a hassle. It still takes 20 minutes. It is so easy to get everywhere in this city. But if all these construction projects, because in my opinion, are not necessarily planned out with the greatest foresight, continue to stifle that, and if this is a thing that we have to deal with for 3 or 5 years as this city gets rebuilt, I'm going to have some issues. I'm not leaving, but again, one of the endearing qualities, I believe, of living here is it's easy to get places. But think about this. Remember, I live downtown, so I'm not trying to get into it. But from my perspective, there are 3 main arteries to get there from at least one side of the, from the south and west side of the city. That Washington Street exit off 75, it's slow because of the bump in front of the Bartley and Berdan lofts. That they're always raising and lowering the sewers there. Sometimes it's 2 lanes. Sometimes it's 1 lane. It's 1.5 lanes. My friend Ashley the other day said, yeah, it changes every day. And I guess sometimes they let people know. But the other thing is, not only is there seemingly very little foresight for these projects that compound one another, but they change every day and they're very unpredictable. At least if you know, like, this is going to stay like this for a day or a week, you can make appropriate plans. So Washington Street, the trail northbound, and then you can, like City to Broadway is closed. You could always get off the trail lower down and take Broadway that way, but then you're going to hit some traffic as it turns into Summit. It's just a mess, and I don't feel great for anybody that's coming downtown. I knew this was going to be a problem going back to when ProMedica, who has been a catalyst and the birth point, the cornerstone of so much growth downtown. But what did they bring? Like several thousand, 7,000 employees downtown? Not to mention all the great things and great people that the Renaissance has brought downtown and so much more. Well, that's so much more traffic and congestion. And it was funny when ProMedica made the announcement a couple of years ago, they were coming downtown. They were just landscaping some of the island in the middle of Summit. I'm like, well, this is going to be kind of pointless. They actually could use that part of the road to make an additional lane and more space on Summit as more people funnel into the new heart of downtown. So again, I said this even before the trail got closed to 1 lane going inbound to downtown. It's not that this stuff is happening. It's how it's happening and when it's happening and that it's all compounding one another. So I don't envy you. In fact, you have my greatest sympathy if you are struggling to get downtown and maybe you have had to awaken a half an hour earlier so that you can either leave a little bit earlier and beat the traffic or maybe wait a little bit longer or take a longer route into downtown. Like it was a headache for somebody like me to get over to the east side because the high level bridge was closed for a long time, but there were 3 other bridges like within a less than 5 minute drive. I don't know if this is the same case trying to get into downtown with all this construction. Thank you for hanging out here so long. Floyd's on the way, a.k.a. Deja.
Cold world. Southside. Can't get enough. Can't get enough. Eastside. Westside. Worldwide. Ride out. Nah, I ain't got no kids yet, but this right here's for practice. I hate to get the seats in the bins wet, but that's how good your ass is. Make an old man.
Floyd, tell me if that microphone works.
Testing.
You're good at this.
I've done this before.
Specs Howard.
Yes.
You are earning that money.
Come on now.
What do you want to talk about tonight?
We could talk about everything. We could talk about anything. I'm an open vessel. There's a lot going on.
There is.
You did lay on me the Bumblebee trailer.
Yeah.
And I watched it twice, and I still don't know how I feel yet.
All right. I'll share this with everybody. There's another Transformers movie coming out. It's a prequel that takes place in the 80s. Haley Steinfeld.
That's my issue.
You don't like her?
I like her, but I don't, maybe in the trailer I was just like, I'm not feeling you, because I'm the fan of the cartoon, as you are.
What was the remake of the Western movie?
Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
No!
Because that movie's awful, but I own it on DVD. I do.
I bet you're like Demetrius, and you own a lot of stupid shit.
I do. I don't judge me, I do. I own 3 copies of Spice World, as I should. It's my favorite movie. Okay. Use this information for anyone listening. That's my favorite movie.
Wait, I'm trying to think. It was this was like in the last 10 years. It was
is a Western, like a TV Western?
No, it was a movie Western. It was a remake, and I forget. It was like one word, and she played the girl in the movie.
Oh, really. Who's the other actor in it? Give it to me. I know what you're talking about. It's not coming to me.
And after she had her first hit, I was like, oh shit, that's Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah,
she's a little dark skinned girl or something. But I was okay with that. And when I first heard this movie be described, mm-hmm. I guess it was pitched as The Iron Giant. Do you own that one?
I do not. I've never seen that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Neither have I, but I've been told about it. And I watched the first 8 minutes.
Everyone tells me like it's dramatic. Like if you are prone to crying, don't see it.
Like it's like a big robot watches over a kid kind of thing from the 2000s.
Yeah.
So I guess it's like that. And it takes place in the 80s. It's loosely connected to all the other movies that won't be made anymore.
I know. Thank goodness. But Oh, no. I love that Bumblebee looks like the cartoon. It makes for...
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the car?
The car. Like, right. He looks like the cartoon. Right. I'm like, yes, thank you.
When the movies first came out in 2007, the Michael Bay ones, I was like... I'm never too critical of these movies that fall in my strike zone.
Right,
it's like,
for sure.
I'm just happy they're on the big screen.
Exactly.
But I was kind of teed off that, like, Bumblebee's not a badass like that. He's this meek little scout dude.
And he had a voice.
Right.
That was my biggest thing. I remember sitting in the movie theater, and I'm just like, Bumblebee talks. And, like, my friends are like, what? I'm like, no, Bumblebee talks.
that was one thing that I was surprised when I watched this trailer. Anyway, this... A couple of surprises. One, I thought it was coming out in August. It got pushed back to December. So it's Christmas.
Yeah, you're right. It is that. Isn't it going up with other stuff, though?
A little bit. There's the Spider-Man movie, which the trailer for that dropped today.
I didn't see that.
Into the Spider-Verse with Miles Morales.
Okay.
So that comes out a week before. There's another movie like us, and then the week after is Mary Poppins.
Have they released an official trailer? I know they just Emily Blunt. Teaser trailers.
That's all we're getting? I think that's it for now. So that movie got bumped back. So I was surprised that it got bumped back and I didn't know about it. I'm surprised that he doesn't have a voice in this movie.
I know. Okay, so that was, like, when I watched it, that was the first thing I was waiting for. I was like, I need that voice. And, like, no, there was no voice. It's like,
you know why?
Why?
Because they want to have more human dialogue. Because they realize that the
it makes me mad.
I know. Well, because we're purists. We're going to the movie whether, you know, it's there
true.
Or not.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got to be a mass appeal movie.
Yeah. When she was like, do you talk? And he like shuddered away. I'm like, no. Right. You're supposed to say yes. I'm like, well, that was my Transformer voice. But also, Starscream.
Right.
And he is my favorite character. I got a boner. I'm not even gonna like that 2.5 second clip. I was like, okay, I'm into it.
There was a tweet that I read of someone who had seen the trailer at some preview event, some convention back in the springtime, and he described it to a T, exactly what the trailer was.
Okay.
And he said, you know, hold on to your seats here. Hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
Starscream's in it. Because I had been wondering, like, who there had to be a villain.
Oh, for sure.
John Cena's character is the villain.
Okay.
It's Sector 7. Kind of like the John Turturro character.
How do you feel about John Cena? Because I'm... Okay, good. He showed up, and like, because when you posted it on my Facebook, it said, starring John Cena, Hailee Steinfeld, and I was like, oh, where is this going to go? And then like he shows up, and I'm just like, ugh. Because like you see the name, and then you see the face. It's like I'm going to lose gay credibility for this, like Channing Tatum. Adorable to look at. But then like you see his name, and then you see him on the screen, and you're just like, ugh, get off the screen. It's not a good actor.
All right, so I have somewhere we can go with this in a second. So that tweet had... Hold on to your butts.
Yeah.
Starscream and G1 colors, red, white, and gray, silver, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Or red, blue, and gray, silver. And that's what it was.
It was.
Because when they were talking about this movie being made and all this stuff, I was like, who's going to be... There has to be another Transformer in it.
Yeah, and also, if anyone's listening, he better have the Starscream voice.
He won't. The guy died. His name is Chris Latta.
Makes me sad.
And apparently something awful happened and he died very young.
Oh.
He had some kind of illness. Yeah, it's Chris Latta.
Okay.
Or else we should have begged to have him for Cobra Commander too, right?
Oh, for sure. Didn't think about that.
Let me bring this up with you since you mentioned John Cena and Channing Tatum. I saw a trailer for a Rock movie that comes out, Dwayne Johnson movie.
Okay.
Sky Limit, Limit the Sky, something. It looks like Die Hard.
Okay. Just like most of his movies looks like Die Hard, though.
Yes.
All his movies are old Bruce Willis
like,
movies.
We just got past Rampage.
Like, did you end up seeing it?
No.
Okay, I didn't see it either. Okay, good.
I root for actors that I like. Mm-hmm. Like, it's time for Chris Pratt to get his...
Just do.
Yeah, well, he's a good actor, but like he's at the point now where he can get cast in an Oscar-worthy movie.
Oh, for sure.
But Dwayne Johnson, like, there's... playing to your strengths.
Yeah.
And then there's making the same movie with the same character over and over. I don't know what this... It's Sky's the Limit. Limit the Sky. He's jumping across buildings.
Right.
It's like part Fast and the Furious. And and I was like, what? When I first saw it, why the fuck is there still a trailer on for Rampage? And it was a new movie.
Isn't he like the highest paid actor right
yes!
now?
Yes!
That makes no sense to me. Let's not forget when he was the Tooth Fairy football player.
Right. I would rather him do... Look, and I like him, and I can't claim to say that I've seen a lot of his movies.
I'm a Rock fan, too. Like, when he's on talk shows, he is the most genuine. Right. And I'm like, I could just listen to you talk all day.
Right.
But then you see him on the screen, and you're like, I saw this movie 20 years ago from another actor.
When it was San Andreas.
That was like
three summers ago.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking, and I thought of Bruce Willis, and I'm like, were there people in the 80s saying... Can Bruce Willis and other actors mm-hmm. stop making the same movie over? Like, Bruce Willis had some dramas under his belt, I think.
Yeah, he did. He had a few, but, like, you're never going to get past Die Hard. Or Sylvester Stallone. It's probably the same.
Right.
Earlier, before Bruce Willis. Like, can you stop making these type of movies?
Now, hold on a second. As much as there was Rambo.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the Rocky. And then...
Tango and Cash.
Yes.
The Demolition Man. Great movie.
Okay, first off, I love Demolition Man.
Great movie.
I love Demolition Man.
I love it too.
Isn't he in Judge Dredd too? The very first one?
Oh, okay. So look, his scope was narrow. Like, Rocky was the outlier.
Yeah.
Like, that was a dramatic movie. Like, I never liked that movie, mm-hmm. I was supposed to, coming from Philadelphia, because I'm like, this is not what boxing is like.
Yeah. Well, I told you, I went to Philadelphia, and that's... I've never seen the movie. I don't need to see it. I just know he runs upstairs.
Right.
In a gray sweatsuit.
To get in shape. And that was...
That's it.
That was like the pinnacle of his acting prowess. And then after that, it was just like muscles and guns.
Oh.
So I think he's a better example than Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Can The Rock do something... Like, I promise, when The Rock does something slightly different than jumping building to building, I'll go see it.
I mean, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm a black guy. The Rock can play a slave. He can try for a dramatic role.
A slave?
A slave, yeah. That's how you get nominated for an Oscar when you're black. He can play a slave. He can play a Hawaiian slave.
What about...
I don't know. Sorry, if you're listening, whatever. You know what I mean.
I was thinking something more biblical.
Oh.
Those movies always bomb, but he did play the Scorpion King.
Don't bring that up.
How about like a hulked out Moses?
Okay. Let's see. If you were The Rock, what would be your dream role to set you apart from the rest of your action career?
You gotta do the Ten Commandments, right?
Okay. The Rock with the weave, though, that wouldn't work for me.
Well, he has no hair, so...
Let's see. What if... what's a real-life story that could be remade with The Rock? Those go over well in Hollywood.
It's gotta be an emotional, dramatic story, though. Not like a war story, right?
No war story. Like, maybe his wife is dying of some rare disease and he's trying to figure out what it is. But I feel like that's been done before, too.
Right.
And if it's a Rock movie, at the end, he jumps from one hospital to another to get the vial that saves her life.
Right.
Okay. There we go. We just summed it all up.
But I'm like you. Like, when he does... interviews or social media and all. He's great.
He's good on social media too.
He's impossible not to like.
Yeah.
But every movie is nearly the same.
You're right. I feel like Will Smith had that angle too for a minute. And I'm secretly a Will Smith fan. I can't admit it though, but I just did. But
no, he was pretty diverse. He did Wild West, Men in Black, but he also did like Pursuit of Happiness.
Okay, I see. So he has those fallback dramas.
Right.
Okay, I get it.
Some actors that have no scope of talent
span
like,
at all.
It's just going to be like this is what they're going to be, and they're always going to be it.
See, but I don't. I feel like I'm with you. The Rock needs a change. Let
me give you another example.
Okay.
Like, I think Chris Pratt has enough acting chops to do serious roles. Mm-hmm. You know, he's very sarcastic and funny. He's great at that. I question, as some of these guys move on from the Marvel movies, I don't know where Chris Evans is going to go.
Yeah, because he's been stuck for so long.
Not stuck.
He
hasn't snuck in the romantic comedy that's done well.
Right.
Because I think he has, but like, I don't know where else he's going to go.
I think the guys in the Marvel universe and gals, they need like that bomb movie, like that movie that just bombs and they're just like, but I had this as a fallback one. But right. I showed you I'm diverse.
Right.
And then they come back and do something else. You're like, oh, you are kind of funny. Oh, you can be serious. But yeah, Chris Evans, he's just, I don't know. I just feel like he, like you just said, hasn't done anything in between that every time we see him, I'm just like, oh, that's Captain America.
Right.
Like he's going to do like a romantic comedy and be like, Captain America.
Like, I don't.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe it's just because in the funniest he's ever been in the Marvel movies was it in the Spider-Man movie when he did the post-credits? Did you see the new Spider-Man?
I did not.
Oh, I just ruined it for you.
Oh, it's all right. No worries.
He like pokes fun at himself. And
okay.
It's like a gym PSA.
All right.
Like a 1980s gym PSA. Like, hey, kids, do your push-ups.
Oh, does it? Okay. All right. So, you didn't ruin anything. I'm one of those people, you can't ruin a movie for me. I still get giddy at the movies. Like, even if you tell me the end, I'm like, oh, it's going to happen.
I want to ask you about the bakery stuff.
Oh, let's do it.
You're gay.
I am gay as hell.
Nah, when I was over Justin's house,
yes.
Over Justin's house the other night.
Yeah, when you invited me when you were leaving.
Actually, he said he invited you.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, but I said, text me when you get there. You're like, hey, come to Justin's, even though I'm leaving. Okay. And I was like, well, I'm sitting my big black ass on my couch still.
I don't know, dude, does every person in the gay community know everyone else?
In Toledo? I mean, it feels like that.
Okay.
But I can't answer accurately because I'm everywhere.
Right, right.
But I feel like, yeah.
Because I said to Justin, I was like, there were people at his house they didn't know. I was like, who's that guy? He's like, I don't know. I see him in place, but like, he's one of us. But
he's one of
us. He's like, you know, we all just know each other. I'm like, yeah. You can say that, but I can't. But I'm like, so.
Yeah.
And then I brought you up. I was like, oh, you know, I kind of invited Floyd over. He's like, yeah, Floyd said he might come.
So, yeah. Yeah. I didn't. I was waiting for Glenn tonight.
So this bakery situation,
yes,
has now been kind of resolved. To go back, there was a bakery in Colorado. I believe it happened all the way in 2012.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Because when we did like the pre-talking about this, I knew about it, but I didn't know like details. So I educated myself. It was back in 2012. It was sent to the Colorado courts and then went to the Supreme Court.
Right. In 2012 is when it happened,
yes,
where a gay couple went to a place they heard make good cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, I don't do this.
Yes.
I think his name was like Jake Phillips.
Yeah, Phillips.
So I don't do this. And I don't know much more than that about it, other than when I think the Colorado civil something,
yeah,
in 2014 said this was wrong. And then, like you said, it went up to the Supreme Court and got taken care of on Monday, kind of.
From what I, like I said, I read and educated myself really briefly and really quickly. So they went to order a cake. They wanted a specific cake that he's done before, so it wasn't anything new. And he was like, oh, I don't do that. But he offered other stuff,
right,
for as amenities, and they were just like, no, we want this cake to celebrate our love life celebration. And he was just like, I can't make that cake.
Violates my religious tolerance.
Yeah, so I
or
feel
whatever.
Like that's where the issue of discrimination came. And I'm always one of those people, when I see issues of discrimination, whether it's black and I'm gay because I'm a double whammy, I do take myself out of my race card for a second and my orientation for a second. I'm just like, okay, let's look at this. And they were discriminated against. Like, they were. I mean, if you want a cake, just make the damn cake. I mean, the cake's not, if it's your religion, make the cake whatever. Jesus isn't going to punch you in the face when you go to the pearly gates, like, you made a cake for a gay couple.
He doesn't know that, though. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that, nor does he believe otherwise.
Here's my favorite thing: when people discriminate against people, whether you are gay, straight, bi, black, white, Asian, whatever, they always fall back on the religious thing. And I just bet if you believe in a higher power, I just want to believe that whoever you believe, whoever you're following or whatever, is sitting on their throne, I'm assuming made of a cloud with angels around them, just laughing like, fucking idiots.
That's not what I meant.
Exactly.
I don't want to talk about like the politics of all this?
For sure.
Because it is what it is. In fact, the Supreme Court, it was a 7-2 ruling, and they basically did half measure with it.
From what I understand, the ruling came on him as an artist. So, like, he said, I'm an artist, and this is... My art is something. Like, the wording is really weird.
It is.
As I was reading it, I was like, this... I read it twice, and I was like, And then Lexi Staples texts me, and she's like, oh, the Supreme Court ruling, because we talk about this stuff. And I literally just said, it's okay. We can't win them all. We know how it goes.
Yeah, and I guess there was some wordplay with all this between the Supreme Court and then the Colorado civil thing, and then the guy. And then I got to... When I was reading up on it as well... Because it's a couple of years old now, many years old from the last time we talked about it.
It's one of those things people forgot about till it happened again. Like
because it just takes a long time.
Yeah, like literally, like it came out and like people started sharing articles. I'm like, what the hell happened now? So I'm just like, and then I went back and read it. Go, oh, this was a while ago. I was a youngin back then, not really
youngin. So, like, are the amendments that everybody likes to wave at everybody else's faces all the time, in a lot of ways, they are contradictory and hypocritical, because this person speaks for religious freedom, but you can't be discriminated against.
Right.
So, and there's a freedom of speech is often misused, because freedom of speech only comes when it comes to like the government telling you to shut the fuck up.
And actually, in Philadelphia, I saw a great quote. It says, "Freedom of speech is not a license to be stupid." And I was like, I
it is
like,
though. It
right,
is.
But it's so like. See, but when you reply, I'm just like, no, you're right.
And it is.
It
is
made me
license.
Think of Roseanne and, for a second. So I'm just like, so stupid.
So, and I don't care about this guy's art or anything like that, but I, for the first time, I put it in this way to myself. And I basically wanted to ask you to get your thoughts on what you would have done. Because I like to think that, to your point of free speech and the First Amendment and life would be stupid, society will take care of you.
Oh, right.
So I don't. Like, if somebody came into my bakery shop, the chasery.
The chaser. Oh, I like
and
that.
And said, I would like a Nazi cake. And I'd be like, I'd like you to go fuck yourself.
Right, exactly.
Is that discrimination? Like, I wouldn't make your Nazi cake.
See, when you put it in that context, and that's where the what ifs happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you just the wheels start rolling. Yeah, it's like if someone came to my bakery, like, hey, can you make me a burning cross cake with a hood next to it? You're
so,
like,
so that's not like not that Nazism. That's the best thing I went to.
That's good meta.
Or somebody said, hey, I'm looking for. Could you make a Star of David cake with blood all over it? I'm having an anti-Semitic soiree. Can you make it? No.
Now, shame on you if you're asking that. First off, like, logically thinking, so people don't have brains. Like, I don't know.
But there are people that do that. And and we are allowed to think freely here and think stupid. That's the great thing about living here.
Mm-hmm.
You can think and say hateful things. You just have to be ready for the consequences.
And it was his business. Like, I don't want to be that person defending
him.
So
what would you have done?
Oh, see, that's a what if.
Would you have made a big stink about it? Because Lexi would. And
I would probably... I would, because I would feel like this is our special day, and people told us this guy's amazing.
Why can't
and
you go somewhere else?
I would, but the principle of the matter is... Okay, so here's the other thing.
He's allowed to be that religious.
Was the dialogue said in a negative way? Like, that's what
remember.
I'm saying. Like, so, like, was he just like, no, get out, you F-word? Or, like, or was it just a calm, cool, collective conversation?
I think it was pretty calm.
So, I would express my disgust or anger. And me, personality-wise, I would move on to the next person. I'd probably just be like, okay, it's fine. It probably wouldn't sit on me that I was discriminated against, because I'm just that person. Like, okay, there are bigger and better things. There's more people out there who can make cakes. There's LGBT friendly cake places. But I think in that moment, in your happiness, you're not thinking that way. And 2012, that climate of gay marriage was at the peak, the pivotal. It was, I don't know when it was passed off the top of my head, but
14
like,
or 15.
Yeah. So like, it's still that era where it was like, no, you can't get married, or we're fighting it. We're almost there. So it's all about the internal dialogue. And I know I'm running circles around this
because
I just don't have an answer. I'm one of those who I was raised to find the good in people. So it's kind of hard for me to answer this without me judging this person. Like, he's a hate monger. I don't think he had hate in his heart. I just think he was going
over. He's very religious
with like, his religious stance.
Right.
When
the ruling came down, and I don't want to say that it was Lexi, but I think that there were other people, who were more defiant by the ruling and thought that this was now an invitation for people to openly discriminate.
Yes, I saw a few people update that, and I will say one of my good friends who is gay quickly corrected someone on my Facebook that was like, oh, this is a step back, and they're like, actually, and they laid it out. I should have brought it up because we were going to talk about it, but they laid it out in a way that, for me, it was a user-friendly update. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, I understand. I'm not that mad. And then they were like, oh, I never saw it that way. So maybe it's one of those things. I just don't know. Because I feel like one side of me wants to be mad. And the other side wants to be that person who has to be respectful. Like, America was built on religious freedom. And you got to keep it. And people run with that.
And
you know what I mean? Like, it's
my answer to the people who say, well, now this is going to allow a lot of people to discriminate. Good. You know what?
Because like, now you weed out the bad people.
Well, no.
Well, not that necessarily the bad people. You weed out the people that won't support you, and you can find those who do support you.
Let me put it another way. You pull the curtain down on the idiots.
Yeah.
Like, Roseanne. Like, I didn't want your apology.
Right.
Leave your words out there. You meant them. And you know what? I encourage you to tell me that I should go jump into a concentration camp. Because now, instead of me thinking that you're a decent human being, you're an anti-Semitic asshole.
Right. Now I know who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. For and, you know, sure.
I like it. The internet, social media is an uncontrollable pitchfork mob, and it often wields justice and injustice, and it is guilty
mm-hmm.
until proven innocent on the internet. But in many cases like this, I like to let society rule.
Oh.
If there's somebody who wants to do this, I don't want people to throw burning bottles. Like, if there's somebody who you, hey, me and Floyd are going to get a gay straight cake. Asshole in here won't make it.
Right.
I don't want anyone to throw.
He'll make half of it.
Right. He'll make my half. We want a gay Jewish cake. Can you do that? Nope. Hate both of them. Hey, right. Gays and Jews. You are like the two worst people to walk right. in here right now.
Wait, then I walk in. Oh, and he's black.
Right. 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 Yeah.
Oh,
don't you see?
No way.
It actually says no minorities. Right. Well, no, you really can't. No, I was thinking no minorities.
Right.
I don't want people to throw like Molotov cocktails through the place,
mm-hmm.
but I will simply say this like a Yelp review.
Yeah.
Like, I will let society dole out the punishment, and then your business will close. Mm-hmm.
You got to forward think it. Like you said, you pulled the curtain down. Now you know not to go to this place.
Right.
And he's going to lose business anyway.
Right.
Like, just actions speak louder than words. You got to go fall back on that. Just move on.
Like, I'm not a voter.
Mm-hmm.
But I do vote in ways and support things with my money.
Right.
My money is far more important than my vote.
Okay.
So, and that's why in this case where I wasn't upset with, like, I'm sure Lexi was very upset about
yeah.
this ruling the other day.
Yeah.
And others as well. Because again, I open an invitation for hate. Not to aggressively act on it, but just let us know who you are.
Oh, right. Yeah. And it's 45, it seems like he opens his mouth and they all feel comfortable.
Right.
They're all just out in the world. You know, it's like a fire was lit under their ass. Like, and I put this on my Facebook. I said, for those of you guys who think the South is rising, stop now because you're going to hurt yourself. And then someone had a comment. They're like, no, let them out themselves. I'm like, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like those hateful people feeling empowered and emboldened to say what they want, but at least we know who you are.
Exactly.
And you've got an outlet for it. And maybe 1 in 100 of those people will say something, say it to the right person, and then there'll be an actual dialogue.
Yeah.
And 2 people will change each other's minds.
For sure.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But you never know.
Maybe it will happen.
Right. And I think we have the same personality. That's like, have that dialogue. Like, I would love to sit down with someone who has hate or racism in their heart. Like, I want to know, why do you think that I'm quote unquote a monkey, or you know what I mean, like, or a hood rat? There's a lot of other words. I'm just trying to say it. Like, why do you feel that way? Because it's learned and it's taught.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one is. It's like. Me coming out as gay I want you to come out as a racist. Like, I want you just to be like, hey, mom, dad, I have something to tell you.
Right.
I'm a racist. And they're like, oh, well, we are too. Yeah, yes! Exactly. We got one. You know what I mean?
Like, it's more the other way. We're like, mom and dad, I know you guys hate black people. Right. But guess what? I really like them. I'm dating a guy named Floyd.
Yeah, that's the better way to look at it. I'm going to have to come out as not racist to my parents.
Right. I get your point.
Yeah.
I've never asked you, and I don't ask you in a derisive way.
You can ask me anything. We're friends.
Why do you do drag?
Okay, so the funny story why I do drag is because I was a young homosexual in downtown Toledo and got caught underage drinking at a local dwelling hole, which is no longer open.
What was it?
Caesar's.
Never heard of it.
So it was on the corner. You know where Legends and Mojo's is? Mm-hmm. Okay. Right there on the corner. I don't know streets, but it's on the corner. Okay. Not far from it.
I know where it is.
Okay. I got caught underage, and I was the youngest of all my friends. My birthday's in May, so all my friends are like...
When's your birthday?
May 28th. It's like all my friends are way older than me going out with them. So instead of me getting kicked out and banned, they were like, come back next week and do the amateur night. And I was like, fuck yeah, whatever. Do whatever I want. I could wear a wig.
Yeah. So you started doing drag to get into the bars underage.
I did. It's a true story.
It's kind of like why I started... That's why I enjoyed radio so much.
So I did amateur night, hated drag. I was like, this is stupid. I don't want to be a girl. Blah, blah, blah. I was naive and dumb. I wasn't educated. I was just fresh out of high school. I was like, whatever. Drag is dumb. However, fast forward, it was another amateur night, and I was like, I think I could do this. Whatever. I've done it before. And I took it seriously. Like, I was like, we went to Deb's. So serious. Remember Deb's?
Mm-hmm.
The girl. I bought Deb's jeans, a Deb's shirt. I was like, if you Google my name, the picture shows up. We won't talk about it. And I did it. And I was good. And I was like, I like this attention. This is amazing. So I just kept doing amateur night. And then finally, one time, I did the amateur night. And the show director was like, hey, do you want a job? And I was like, doing what?
How old were you?
I started... My first day was my 21st birthday. I'm 35 now. So, and then I've done it ever since.
So you like the attention. I love the attention.
But here's the other thing. I'm going to sound really conceited. I wanted to be a pop star. So this is like my way to be a pop star, just to be honest. But I love the attention. And I like making people happy. Like, I like the looks on people's face when they see me perform. Or afterwards, they're like, oh my God, I had such a bad day. You did one of my favorite songs. Like, I like the attention, and I also like, it makes people happy. It's an escape from real life. So I started drag on a dare, underage drunk, and that's the history of Deja.
And now you're great at it.
I'm pretty decent.
You're the headliner for our Pride, for whatever the Friday night of the Pride weekend is called now.
Yeah, whatever it's called. I don't even know what it's called.
You go to other cities, right?
I do. I was actually in... This is my first year taking prides off from major cities, but I've done Columbus Pride, which is not this weekend, next weekend. I've done that for 6 years. It's my first year taking it off. I was invited to come back, but I was like, actually, when I want to enjoy it. And then I've done Motor City Pride, which is this weekend, which I won't be there.
Where do they have it at?
It is right downtown by the Fisting thing.
The Joe Louis?
Yes, it's right off that, yeah. Right there in that little, where the little fountain is, you can see Casino Windsor on the other side.
What the hell's the name? Heart Plaza.
Heart Plaza. There we go. And it's, out of all the prides, I love Motor City Pride. Like, it's my favorite. I like the openness, and like, it's just fun. And like, I love Columbus Pride too, but Columbus and Motor City Pride are right, two of my favorites right up there.
Do they pay you?
Yes.
What do they pay you?
They pay me enough.
It's also another good reason to do it, right?
They pay me enough.
Let me tell you a story. I don't think
Ferndale Pride paid me really good too. Thank you, Ferndale.
let me tell you a story that I don't think I've ever. I can't remember the last time I told it. So when I first moved to Detroit to start doing radio,
mm-hmm.
I was hanging out with our night guy. His name was Tic Tac, and I knew that he was gay, and I knew that he was a little weird, but he knew that I was like really into dance music. Like, there was a tweet I saw a couple weeks ago, and it was back and forth naming all their favorite Thunderpuss 2000 remixes.
Oh, yes.
Like, okay. Amber and Shin.
Oh,
don't make this night a natural. Yeah, exactly. That, and Cher, and all this stuff. So I liked all that stuff. It was big where I was growing up in Philadelphia and in the DJ scene there.
That's like when I first went to a bar. Not to cut you, remember your story. The first song I heard Going Into a Bar with Sandstorm.
Great song.
Yeah, I was like, what is this song? I need this in my life. All right, go.
So I was into all that. This guy, Tic Tac, knew that. And I would hang out with him during his show. And then he's like, let's go. You like it. You want to DJ. Bring your records. And we'd go to all the clubs that I... Like, I had no idea where I was going. And he took me to all the gay clubs.
Which is where you're going to hear those hits.
Right. I didn't mind.
Like, right.
I was 20 at the time. I was too naive to know that, like, somebody could have taken advantage of
right.
me.
You're just like, I'm here for the music.
Right, right, exactly.
I don't care about anything.
It was the Works and Numbers and...
Like I know none of these places.
A handful of other places that were always in the most dangerous neighborhoods in Detroit.
I'm
which
about to
is
say,
the dumbest gay thing ever.
So, did one of them have like a barbed wire fence around it?
Because probably
one of my first gay bars, I believe they're closed, was the Rainbow Room, and I remember driving my Ford Taurus with the no handle, going up there, and they're like, pull into this fenced area. So I was like, okay. This little gate opened, click, 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 and then it shut behind us. And like, you have to go through this door. This is your ticket. If you want your car back, you have to give me your ticket. And they opened the gate. And I was like, where the hell? I'm 20. I don't know anything. So like my friend Grant with me, he lives in Florida now. He's just like, just go in. So I go in. It's like a world you've never seen before. Because like you said, you were outside. You're like, what? Are we going to prison?
This is where all the people in Detroit do get
exactly.
shot.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, where did you bring me? What is that smell? It's not pot. What is it? It's something else. Is that a dead body? Ugh. So like I said, I'm 20, naive. Just dumb. So we go in. It's like a whole different world. You would never judge the inside of this nightclub based on the outside. Because the outside looked like an abandoned chicken shack. And you go inside, you're like, oh, there's laser lights, fogs. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's a pretty light. Oh, that's a dude. Okay.
Right.
You know, that's a drag queen.
Do you remember... Space.
Okay, so about Space, it closed when I started like performing a lot more because I remember they did the commercials on a radio station I used to listen to back in the day. So I never got to experience Space, but I've heard so much about it.
Because I think there were two versions of it. One was in Pontiac, and then the other one where my friend Lisa DJ'd at was downtown, and there were midgets. And it was like a fucking circus.
Was it really?
It was a circus. And that's the point where the glass ceiling of this is the gay club was totally broken because everybody went
there. Everyone went there.
Yeah, there was like radio broadcasts. It was incredible.
The whatever I listened to, oh my God, I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head. It was that station, that call numbers aren't even real anymore. They would do Trixie yes. Deluxe was there,
yeah.
And there was a black drag queen. Don't quote me. I believe her name was Diva.
Okay.
She did like outlandish club kid makeup, and that was like when MySpace was first a thing. You know what
right.
I mean? So like, I know of the queens who work there, and they've gone off to do great things. Like they both live in Orlando right now. They both work at the hugest gay bar down there, and it's just
House, Parliament House,
Parliament House. Yes.
I've been
How
there
do you
too.
Know that? Wait, you've been there?
Yeah.
Shut up. You're living my best life right now.
When I worked in Orlando, I would go to the gay clubs.
I want your life.
Yeah.
I hate you, Eric Chase. I hate you.
Sorry.
No, I've always wanted to go there. And like all my friends post pictures up there about Parliament House. I'm like, that looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. P House.
Yep. So we got to call it P House?
P House, yeah.
P House, hey.
Why don't you start some kind of drag bingo here?
So, we have tried. We've tried at George's, but apparently you have to donate it to charity and get licensed, and you're not allowed to serve alcohol.
Oh, because I guess it is gambling.
Yeah. So, we've tried it. We got in trouble. Someone told on us, and there was an undercover cop there. So,
wonderful.
But they were... Well, she was really nice about it, but she was just like, hey, you can't do this again. So, George is trying to figure it out. There's a way around it, so...
Right.
Don't count it out.
Okay.
It's still in the works.
Because I know people, maybe you go up for the one in Ferndale or Royal
Oak. Yeah, I almost got hired up there in the 151. Where's that? I'm drawing a blank. Royal Oak. There we go. Boom. Yes.
Yeah. Like, it was funny when I told Demetrius the other day, Pronto.
Yes.
Great salad deli place.
Yeah.
Other side.
I was here with you. You're
gay
like,
bar.
Gay bar on the other side.
Salads and gay bar. I'm like, yeah, the salads are like mountainous.
Yeah. And that joke writes itself.
You can shove your face in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be funny. I'd go see Brent.
Okay.
And we'd go to Pronto for lunch or dinner and then come back. Well, we'd go to the restaurant for lunch or dinner and come back at night.
Salad.
You know what? They always sniffed out the straight dudes, though. And let me tell you, whose drinks weren't as strong as the gay guys.
You're right. I was like, I can't even defend you. Right. Defend that statement.
Last things, anything else on your mind?
No.
Pride this year is the 17th and 18th of August, right?
17th and 18th, and I have a surprise. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to unleash it.
Okay.
And yeah, it's going to be a great time. So follow all the Toledo Pride, Equality Toledo stuff on Facebook. That's where you're going to find most of your information right away.
Okay.
Definitely the Facebook.
And if you didn't go, you can just watch out your window because it's back at Promenade
Park.
It's
true. So like the joke is we should set up a little zip cord and I enter like a good old pop star. However, I'm afraid of heights and I'm really fat. So that's not going to happen. I'm a little thick.
There's enough people that would catch you.
No. No. No.
Okay. No. All right. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
We'll do this more often.
If you'll have me, I'll be here.
What's your homework? Go watch that Sky something rock trailer.
Oh, what's the movie again?
Sky's the Limit.
Sky's the Limit.
Just Google new
Rampage
Dwayne Johnson.
Rampage 2 without the animals.
Exactly.
Okay.
Die Hard 2018.
Die Hard 2018.